The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
This is Mike Consul, and my guest is Jim McAllister IV. He's president and CEO of Rock Spring Capital, a Houston-based real estate private equity firm whose strategy is to acquire opportunistic real estate land parcels, residential lots, with all cash in high-growth areas within the Texas Triangle. That Texas Triangle, of course, being Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas-Fort Worth. Very hot markets, and I'm going to emphasize that land parcels is one of the things that Rock Spring invests in. We're going to talk about undeveloped or raw land, something that a lot of investors have had an aversion to. Jim McAllister happens to be an expert in that area, so we're going to talk to Jim about the whys and wherefores of undeveloped property investing, why the aversion, what are the advantages of it, how do you make an informed decision on the type of properties to buy and so on. Jim McAllister, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike.
Let me first of all ask you, what about investors and the fact that they tend to be averse to investing in undeveloped land? In fact, I believe some institutional investors have policies against it. What's the hesitation there?
There's a good reason for that. Investing in land requires a much higher level of expertise in investing in income properties. When you invest in an income property, whether it's an office building or a shopping center or retail center or whatever, you're just buying a cash flow. And so it's very easy to determine what that asset is worth. What are you willing to pay for that cash flow? So they're sold on cap rates, basically. And so it's hard to screw up. And so with land, you know, what's a piece of land worth? Well, it doesn't produce any income, generally speaking. And so it's only worth what an end user or developer is willing to pay for it at a certain period of time. And so if you're not a complete expert in that field, you can get absolutely burned. And so there's good reason why novices should not be playing in the land market.
So let's talk about the people who do understand the land market and they are investing. What is the strategy or motivation? In other words, if I buy a parcel, an undeveloped parcel, am I holding on to that parcel, waiting for escalate in value, and then selling it at a profit? What do you see most often? What is the number one motivation for buying undeveloped land, or the number one strategy behind it?
Well, I mean, most people that buy undeveloped land are developers. Most of them are not investors. So the vast majority of them are people that buy the property. They're going to buy it right when they're ready to build. And, you know, in some cases, like, let's say, some of these grocery chain anchors, like H-E-B, for example, they may come in and say, well, this is a great corner, although the market is a little green. There's not quite enough rooftops around, but I'm willing to hold on to it for a couple of years before I build. And so they're I would put them as a quasi-investor. They're not immediately building, but they are a developer, and they're just going to wait for the area to mature a little bit to build their product. And so the vast majority of people that buy land are either developers or, you know, in that case, quasi-developers. And so with investors, there's different strategies. I mean, with us, we look for sites that are undervalued because it's as I mentioned earlier, it's not easy to determine the value of a piece of land. It's very difficult. No two pieces of land are the same anywhere in the universe. And so if you have an expert at that, you can find really good buys, especially when you have a little stress going on from the seller. And so you can make really good buys, but what we do is we also get the property completely development ready for the developer. We'll do all the horizontal development and let the developer develop vertically.
So if I'm an investor, I'm buying a piece of undeveloped land, why buy a piece of undeveloped land at all? Why would I not just buy a piece of developed land? What is What is the real advantage to buying undeveloped land for an investor?
Yeah, well, the advantage is if you're a true expert, if you really know what other people don't know, you can make a much higher rate of return than you can if you're buying an income property, which there's no mystery to what the value of that income property is, as I mentioned earlier, because you're just buying a cash flow. So someone that is a true expert can make a higher rate of return buying an undervalued piece of land versus buying a income-producing asset. You just don't see income-producing assets selling drastically below what they should be selling for, because it's just a cash flow, and there's a giant group of investors that are willing to pounce on anything. If I own an office building, and that office building is trading on a 4 cap, if I just make an incremental change to what I'm willing to sell the property for, if I just go down 5%, I'll have 15 buyers within a week. And so land doesn't work that way. And so you can make better buys in land if you are an expert.
So let's talk about central business districts, which is where a lot of investors put their money. Central business districts are often devoid of undeveloped land. We're trying to find undeveloped land in a very active area might be a little bit difficult. I may be wrong about that. You can correct me on that if that's the case. But where do you find the best undeveloped land for investment? Where are they generally found?
Well, you see, what's going on in the urban areas, in transitional areas especially, is there's a lot of what we call covered land plays. That's where an area is transitioning. Maybe it's an area that is in a great part of town, but it was developed out for industrial, for example, say, 60 years ago. And industrial is no longer the highest and best use for that land because land values in that submarket are changing. And so so a lot of times folks like us will come in and we'll buy an asset with an income-producing asset, an industrial building or whatnot, or maybe a Class C or D apartment complex, and hold on to it for a couple of years, take that cash flow, and wait for the area to continue transitioning, and then sell it to a high-end residential type developer for a completely different land price. So most of the land deals that happen in urban areas are not really land. There's another building. There's a building on it, but that building is no longer the highest and best use.
So would you be buying that property and then tearing down the warehouse and? Or is that something that's done prior to the purchase? And secondly, what about zoning? Does the purchaser, does the multifamily developer who purchases that parcel handle the rezoning, or does that rezoning have to happen prior to the sale to ensure that they can build what they want to build, and it's really the responsibility of the landholder at the time?
Okay, well, answer to the first question. Question is that while we're waiting for the area to mature, we want that tenant in there paying rent, that industrial tenant or the Class C or D apartment guy. We want them paying rent. We want that produces income for us while we hold the asset. So the last thing we want to do is kick them out before we have a buyer. What we don't do is buy an industrial building with a 15-year lease on it, which means that we're not able to sell it to an end user or developer. So we, for a different use. So we will buy assets with, if it's Class C apartments, making sure there's no long-term leases on those apartments, and then if it's an industrial type building or something like that, or an old retail center, making sure there's no long-term leases on there, and that way, as the leases expire, you can just change it, to month to month or something of that nature, where as soon as the buyer comes in, he can scrape the building. The answer to the second part of your question is most of Texas, there's no zoning, and that's really what's very unique about Houston, especially, is the lack of zoning, and so most of the state of Texas is really highest and best use. If there's a piece of property out in the country and someone wants to put a 50-story high-rise on it, well, they can do it. They're not going. They're going to lose their ass. But I mean, they can do it. And so, you know, there's certain communities have deed restrictions they have to follow. But there's pockets in Texas, Travis County, and pockets out in suburbs of Houston that have zoning. But most of Texas does not have zoning. And so with us, that's not a big issue.
Okay, but that's not the case in most of the rest of the United States, where zoning is enforced and you have to apply for zoning changes. So what about those situations?
Well, in those situations, is that, you know, you'd have to come in and understand, you know, the nature of the district you're in. Let's say that it's multifamily, and the highest and best use is now high-end single-family type residential. Okay, you'd have to understand and know that the city wants to change that, okay? Because you certainly don't want to, you know, that they wished, that they want that changed, okay? And then you can buy that asset with confidence, knowing that the city wants those apartments gone as much as anyone else does. But if it's a situation where, you know, you're trying to change it from one thing to another, and you don't know if the city or county or whoever the jurisdiction is, if you don't know if they want to go with it, then yeah, you're absolutely rolling the dice, and you may not be able to change it. And if you don't change it, probably your whole scheme for making a good rate of return is probably in the trash can.
So what are some of the factors to be taking into consideration when assessing whether an undeveloped parcel is a good investment? Now, you've covered some of this territory, Jim, but what are some of the other factors that you would advise any investor to take into consideration, especially since you said that it's more complicated dealing with undeveloped parcels than developed parcels?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's really two parts to looking at a piece of land. One is the market dynamics. You know, if you have a piece of land that's, you know, you could use any type of use. Let's just say single family residential. You have a piece of land that you know is good for single family residential. Well, you need to understand what a developer will be willing to pay for that land. You know, assuming they're able to get their utilities and do everything they need to do. You need to know what the market will support. What will they pay? And you know, are these lots going to be, are the developers going to be able to get $20,000 a lot or $45,000 a lot? Okay, and that tells you what you can, where you need to be buying to get the rate of return you need. So if you buy something and have no clue what a developer's willing to pay for it, then, like I said, it's a complete and total gamble, and you're probably going to lose that gamble. And so you really have to. You have to understand the market, you know, and what is the developer going to be willing to pay for it, and also how long will it take? You know, if you're buying something way out in the country, it may take 25 years for developers to be interested in that site, because maybe it's way beyond the, you know, where the development is today. And so you have to really understand the market. And then the other area that you have to really understand is the land itself, as far as what does it cost to develop out the land? In some areas in Texas, for example, water, you can't get water to the site. And it may cost millions of dollars to bring a water line to the site. And that would completely blow the economics for a developer, okay? And maybe someone bought that site not realizing how much it would cost a developer to get water. In other areas in Texas, like Houston, where there's too much water, too much rainfall, the city or county won't let you develop unless you have a plan for water runoff, and that may mean digging a ditch to the closest creek, and that ditch may be $15 million to build. And if you buy that property not realizing that it's $15 million to build that ditch to the creek, well then you're probably grossly overpaid for the property. And so it's understanding, you know, what it's going to cost to develop the site, and also the market. What will the market bear?
Okay, a lot of factors to be taken into consideration. So let's talk about our current situation here. Commercial real estate, especially in the gateway markets, has become quite expensive. So have undeveloped land prices in those markets inflated by the same volume or percentage as developed properties? Is that the case?
Go right ahead, Jim. That is the case, yes. Yeah, okay. That's the case for sure.
Okay, so undeveloped land prices in gateway markets have inflated. Have they been priced out of the range of profitability at this point?
Well, there's going to always be good deals. And, to say that there's no good deals, is that will never be the case. There's always good deals out there, especially with land, where I mentioned before, a lot of people don't know what it's worth, and someone that's a true expert is going to know what other people don't know. And so there will always be opportunities out there in any area, in any market. When you have a market that's generally overpriced, then there'll be fewer opportunities, or maybe the opportunities won't be quite as strong. But it's a little bit much to say that there's no opportunities in any place. I mean, there's always with land, there's always going to be opportunities. There's always going to be people making money with land. But yeah, if you're in a market where it's where prices have been run up a lot, and a lot of times prices are run up artificially. In other words, like there's no reason the land should be selling for a certain amount because if you look at what a developer is willing to pay, what the home buyer can pay, sometimes things go out of equilibrium. Okay, and so you never want to be buying something on the top part of a bubble. I don't care, you know, what asset you're talking about, whether it's real estate or anything else. And so, yeah, there are bubbles and bursts, cycles in real estate like anything else. And sometimes, one part of the United States may be in a different market cycle than another part of the United States. So, yeah, when you buy on the bubble, you're even though there will be some opportunities on the top of the bubble, 9 out of 10 buyers will end up losing if they're buying at the top of the bubble.
So if an investor is looking for a piece of undeveloped land, they would go about it basically the same way you find a developed piece of land. You'd be looking on CoStar and other sites that that list properties that are available.
Well, in our case, the vast majority of what we buy are off-market deals, and that's really where you find your best buys. Is we have a whole team of brokers that are throughout Texas that are calling on landowners every day, and a lot of times landowner will have something occur in their life where they need to move an asset very quick, and they don't have time to do a whole marketing plan and put it out on the market and spend months taking offers. And so so we're very opportunistic buyers, and like I said, the vast majority of what we buy are not on the MLS. But for most people, yes, that's how. For 9 out of 10 people, that's how they buy. I mean, there's just too many. There's hundreds of thousands of groups that come in and do very successful land deals, and too many to count. And there's also a whole lot of novices out there that don't know what they're doing, that they get absolutely clobbered in land. And so it's, like I said earlier, land's an awesome opportunity if you've spent years and years and years understanding the dynamics of it, or if you invest with someone who has that experience. It's a very good area to be in, but for the guy that's just, hey, I want to buy some land, he's probably going to end up losing a lot of money. So the success stories are from thousands and thousands of people that know what they're doing with land investment, and the losers are usually people that really are not experts and are just buying a piece of land because they think it's a good deal.
My guest has been Jim McAllister IV. He is chief executive of Rock Spring Capital, again, a Houston-based real estate private equity firm. And Mr. McAllister has been featured as an expert on Texas land in several local and national publications, as well as right here on the IREI podcast series. Jim, thanks a million for taking the time to walk us through this.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. It's enjoyed it, and hope we can visit again soon.
Count on it.